Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and today we're going to be talking about injury. This is a question that came from Tanya, who's currently dealing with some injury issues, and she's doing fantastic at keeping moving and everything like that, but she wanted to know if there's anything else that she should be focusing on. And to start with, I'm going to assume that not just Tanya, but everyone, if they are injured, has seen a physio, is doing everything that the physio tells them to do, not getting a whole bunch of exercises from the physio that you either don't do or you kind of half-heartedly do that you're actually doing it. And I'm also going to assume that if you have been to your physio or your physiologist or whoever it is that you normally see about sports-related injuries, that you are satisfied that they have identified what the problem is. Because if you're not satisfied, then you might want to get a second opinion. Because it's really easy when you go in to see someone for them to maybe look at something and say, well, that's an overuse injury, but that doesn't really tell you anything. Because, you know, like, is it an overuse injury because it was fatigued? Is it an overuse injury because one side of your body is strong and the other side is weak? Is it an overuse injury because one muscle group is overdeveloped and another is underdeveloped? Is it an overuse injury because you built up your distance too fast, or your balance of easy to hard workouts was out of whack? There are just a whole range of things that could be going on. So you want to make sure that whatever diagnosis you are getting, it is specific, and it's specific enough that there are steps that you can put in place to start strengthening and remedying that situation. And I tend to be wary, in my experience of the times when I've had injuries seen to, of any advice that involves not that there's anything wrong with resting, because resting is often a really important part of it. But if that's all the advice is to rest, because if you rest, then when you start up again, exactly the same thing is going to happen. Or in my opinion, that's probably the most likely scenario. So I want to make sure, for starters, that I'm getting a really clear, really specific, really actionable diagnosis. And the next step is, which I've already sort of mentioned, but will feel free to bang on about it again, is that you need to treat whatever those specific steps or that specific treatment is. That is your training. And so, you know, if you had, say, for example, a long run on your training plan for the week, or a tempo run during the week, you aren't going to go, oh, I don't really think that's important this week. Chances are you're not going to do that because you like it. But with physio exercises, they tend to be a little bit more boring, not quite as immediately rewarding. And so it's really easy to come up with excuses to either not do them or do them really half-heartedly. And what I want you to think about when that's happening is, would you rather invest the time now in being really proactive with all of those exercises so that you can get back to what you really enjoy a lot sooner? Or would you rather kind of be half-hearted about it and elongate your injury more than what it needs to be? What you really want to avoid is a kind of head in the sand approach of, okay, well, I'll just rest and I'll just ignore it and eventually it'll feel better and then I'll go back to running. No, you won't feel better. And then exactly the same thing's going to happen once you build up in your mileage again. And the next thing that's really important is to look at the why behind it happened, because in my experience with my injuries, at least, and most people's injuries, there is a reason. Things don't just happen. You don't just end up with say an ITB injury, or like I've had an ITB injury that didn't just happen. I've torn an adductor, also didn't just happen. I've gotten shin splints same again, didn't just happen. All of these things, there were reasons why they happened, and in order to injury-proof yourself, you need to look at why they happened. There could be a whole range of reasons why things happen. Sometimes it is an immaturity in the muscles that needs to be developed. Sometimes it's that you have been running on too much fatigue and your core has collapsed. Sometimes it's a lack of appropriate attention to core activation and hip stability. Sometimes it is just taking on too much too soon and ignoring warning signs. Sometimes it might be not taking your recovery as seriously as what you do your training and not taking all of that body maintenance stuff as important as your training. So things like rolling as part of your foam rolling as part of your regular schedule, or like stretching or yoga. All of those things have warning signs which usually pop up. So just as an example, I think it was sort of towards the end of last week, I had had this really crazy hard run on Thursday, which went really well and I was really happy with, but I did feel like it had taken a lot out of me. And as I normally have scheduled on Friday, I went on Friday and I did CrossFit and I was going for my run after that. And I did sort of take it easy at CrossFit on that day because I was aware that I was just still a little bit gassed from the run the day before. And I went for a run and I started to feel my adductor muscle pulling. And so basically at that point, I was very much considering pulling out of the run. But I just really focused on core activation. I thought I'll just go for a little bit longer and see how it goes. And it was fine, but that was my warning sign. If I had then done nothing and then gone out for my long run the next day, I'm pretty sure I would have been in injury city. What I did do is took a rest day on the Saturday, which would normally be my long run day, and plan to go on the long run on the Sunday, but be willing to pull out of the long run if things still weren't feeling great. And I spent a massive amount of time on Saturday rolling everything out, like ankles, calves, quads, hamstrings. I just spent loads of time on it. Now, in an ideal world, that would have been happening every day over the last month, but I'd gotten lazy with it, and so I took more of a cramming approach to rolling. And then sure enough, on Sunday I went for my long run and I felt fine, and there were no muscle issues on that day, and I've continued rolling pretty much every day since then. So that's the kind of thing that you want to be thinking about when an injury happens, is what were the warning signs? What did you miss? Because chances are there were some clear warning signs going into it. And if there weren't, then maybe that is also a learning process about, were you really in tune with your body in the lead up to that? Maybe you might like to have a little bit of a training diary where you write down for your sessions how your body is feeling, how your energy levels were. So you can see when you get to points where your body's feeling niggly and your energy levels are low, you go, right, need more rest. Or it might just be a matter of more body maintenance in terms of doing things that are going to support your running, like having, like doing your foam rolling, doing your stretching, doing strength. Because I find like one of the periods of time when I was most injury prone was when I stopped doing strength work. And whenever my ITB has gotten aggravated in the past, it's been so beneficial to be doing things like squats for whatever reason. I haven't actually worked out why that is, but me having an active strength training program really helps to make sure that my ITB doesn't get overly aggravated. So I think that that is a really important part of injury that you shouldn't skip over, because it's really easy to see the injury period as this sort of this annoyance that's thrust on you. But a lot of times there's a lot of things that you need to learn about your personality and your training in order to move forward. And certainly periods of time when I've been injured, I have gotten a much, much better sense of where my weaknesses are, when I'm pushing too hard, when I need to back off, and getting a really good sense of where the line in between, you know, commitment to training is and overtraining is, and getting a lot better at understanding where that is and understanding where I need to nurture my body and step back. Now, in terms of staying positive and dealing with a period where the thing that you normally love to do isn't there, I think that there are lots of ways to go about that too. Part of it is finding something that you enjoy to do. So obviously walking for me would be like the first thing that I would probably do, because a lot of what I like about running is this being outside, and I can be outside without running. It's shocking, I know, but I can. So the first part is, as much as possible, maintaining the routine that you already have, even with an injury. So I will tend to go to CrossFit if I have an injury, and I will just get them to modify or scale whatever they're doing so that it's something that I can do as well. So I'm maintaining that part of my routine. I will go for a walk instead of going for a run, or start incorporating other things like in the warmer weather, swimming, you know, just taking advantage of things that I wouldn't normally do. But the other part of it, I think, is a really great opportunity, because you do just end up with a lot more time than what you normally have. And I think it's a great opportunity to look at, you know, okay, so this has happened, so I've got lots of time to plan out what I want to do. So you can do spend a lot of time on goal setting, and, you know, you can look at long-term goals, you can plan out exactly what you want to achieve, and you can also have the opportunity to kind of, like, sometimes after a while you can get sort of, I don't want to say stuck, but you kind of get locked in to a certain path, you know, and this is what I'm doing, and every week this is what it looks like, and I've always done this, like I've always done this long run on this day, and I've always done this, you know, other run on this day. It gives you an opportunity to kind of step back from that and going, okay, if I wanted to go, like if I'm going to go back to the beginning anyway, and it's not really the beginning, but it just feels like the beginning. But if I want to go back to basics, you know, I'm going to be doing like whatever my base building is, and then I'm going to start putting things in on top of that once I start, you know, like building up again and all of that kind of stuff. It's a real opportunity to kind of go, what do I actually want to do that is going to make this fun and enjoyable for me? Maybe I want to look at a completely different distance. Maybe I want to do, you know, like focus on a 5K distance instead of a half marathon or a marathon distance. Maybe I really want to work on all of the strength foundation of running, so I have like a really rock solid foundation when I go into this this next cycle. Maybe I want to look at like how I can really optimize all of my fueling and my nutrition, so I am running on 100% in terms of energy all of the time. Maybe I want to look at, okay, yeah, I want to run 3 or 4 times a week, but I really want to make sure that I'm getting 8 or 9 hours of sleep as well. It gives you an opportunity to kind of look at the whole picture, take a step back, and really plan how you want it without kind of that kind of thing. Oh, well, I've got to get up at this time because I've got to run this and I've got to do that. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff that happens when you get locked in to what your normal routine is and what you normally do. And, you know, it's really easy to not sort of spend too much time thinking of what you think of as sort of accessory stuff or sort of like stuff that's on the sideline that impacts it, but actually is probably a lot more important than you realize. So like one of the podcasts I was listening to recently, they were talking about how, you know, this particular coach's approach to training was like focus on the things that would kill you first. So, and I think I mentioned this before actually, but so it was breathing, sleep, nutrition, movement, which is the exact opposite of what our focus is usually on a day-to-day basis. So injury is the perfect time to go, okay, I would really benefit from some breathing practice. And it's really easy to think, like, what do I need breathing practice for? I breathe all the time. I've been breathing for 30 years, or in some of our cases, a lot more than that. And, but how, you know, actually how developed is that breathing? And, you know, like how strong are your diaphragm muscles and your lungs, and how capable are you of having a really solid basis for all of your movement? You know, how often are you just chest breathing instead of deep breathing? Are you capable of doing some down regulating breathing to, you know, reduce your heart rate and calm you down at night, and also sort of start to develop those muscles and develop that all of that lung power that you are going to need in pretty much any activity you do? You can start really basically with breathing. It can be just as simple as counting your breaths, breathing in and out before bed. And, you know, you might start with breathing in for three and breathing out for three, and then start building that number up. So you're breathing in for longer and breathing out for longer, and having that to be quite comfortable. And, you know, it doesn't have to be for very long. Or you could start incorporating it in your yoga practice. So, you know, having your breath in and out as part of all of your yoga movements is also going to help to develop that. So that is another thing that you can focus on. And then you can move on to sleep. Like, what is the quality of your sleep like? Are you going to bed at the time that you need to go to bed to get quality sleep? Are there things that are stopping you from getting good sleep? You know, like whether it's sort of like screens or, you know, blue lights. Are you putting devices down at, you know, around 7 o'clock at night so you can help your body to get ready for sleep? Is there anything that's disrupting your sleep that you could do something about? Like recently, just because I'm a bit lazy. Actually, that's not true. And that's a whole other podcast on why I don't think lazy is a thing. But Piper had been in our bed off and on, but mostly on for years now. And like really, like mostly we co-slept when she was a baby. And then there was a period of time when she was a toddler, where she mostly liked to be in her own bed. But then we moved and she was supposed to be sharing a room with Riley, but it just never really worked out. So she just kind of defaulted to our bed because it was just impossible to get them both to sleep in the one room. And it was one of those things where, like, it was working until it didn't work, and she was sort of disrupting our sleep, and she wasn't getting great sleep. And then it was starting to kind of get like, okay, I'm going to have to actually sort of like get her into her bed, and end up being easier than we thought, because one day we were mattress shopping and she saw a duna cover that she wanted for her bed, and Josh said, if we buy that for you, then you got to sleep in there. And she's like, all right, I will then. And she's pretty much been sleeping in there ever since. So she wasn't sleeping with us because I was lazy. She was sleeping in with us because it was convenient for me for her to be in there because I didn't have to sort of like go through that whole thing of getting her to sleep in her bed and, you know, doing all of that. And then by her, you know, essentially waiting for until she was ready, it became a lot of an easier process than probably what I'd worked it up to in my mind. But that, in combination with us getting a new mattress that is really comfy to sleep on as opposed to our old one, which was so far beyond its use by date, has vastly improved the quality of my sleep. So it's sort of like looking at those things that, you know, some things are beyond your control really with sleep. You know, if you're somebody who suffers with insomnia, then you're just going to be doing the best you can with the strategies that you have. You know, if you have to get up at a certain time for work, or, you know, like if kids are unwell, or, you know, your partner keeps odd hours, you know, all of those things are kind of beyond your control. But there are always things that you can tweak to sort of help improve sleep, and that would be then your next step. And after that, then you can move on to things like nutrition, appropriate, you know, fueling for all of the things that you've got to do every day, making sure that you're getting all of the nutrients that you need to feel energized. And then after that, you can kind of go into, even while still injured, movement stuff to do with, like, maybe it's working on core and hip stability, maybe it's strengthening muscle groups, maybe it's working on unilateral stuff so that you're strengthening up your weaker side. Maybe it is like looking at doing some running drills to help you with form and technique. I mean, for the most part, form and technique will take care of itself as your fitness improves. The current sort of consensus is that it's not really a worthwhile pursuit to attempt to correct form, because everybody's body is different and you're much better off letting people do what comes naturally to them and having that improve over time as their fitness improves. But if you have like a key issue, like say for example your core fatiguing and collapsing, then you definitely, it's definitely something that you want to work on. So those are all things that can happen. You can work on your like activating your core when you're walking around. You can work on keeping your feet in a neutral position and not pointing out when you're walking around it at home. They're all things that you can work on while you're injured, and it will sort of keep you focused on what the end goal is and not get too caught up in the fact that, you know, you wish you were out running. And then the final part of the puzzle is shopping, obviously. I mean, I think that goes without saying that there should be shopping and possibly some, you know, some decent time spent on the Australian running calendar. So I think that those are my main tips for coping with an injury, and I will save why being lazy isn't a real thing for another podcast on another day, and I will speak to you guys next week. But in the meantime, this weekend is the last chance to sign up for Learn to Run, which starts on Monday. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up for that. That will be going for 3 months, and it'll be like quite a nice time of year to be focusing on your running, because we're getting into some nice almost spring weather now. Well, it feels very spring here today. It feels almost summerish actually, but everywhere else that has normal weather patterns, I'm sure that it is sort of just moving into spring. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up on the website, or if you have any questions about it, you can just email me and we can have a chat about that too. And I will speak to you next week. Bye.